Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we'll be looking at verse 11. I could say verse 12, but I don't think we'll make it there. So verse 11, we'll read both of these together, but it's going to be focusing on verse 11 this morning. The title of the message is Perfect and Personal Faith. Perfect faith and personal faith. The Scripture says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We'll just stop there. Now, as we have seen in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, the apostle here, after exhorting believers to continue in the faith, as all true believers will continue in the faith, seeing faith is a gift of God, seeing faith is in Christ is something that God produces in the believer, it is also something God keeps us in throughout this life. And you'll see this even at the end of this when he said these all died in faith. Every true believer will die in faith, will continue in faith. And so he begins by these prophets and these Old Testament saints to show us certain aspects of faith, certain things about faith, benefits about faith. And we've just been through many of these, but the one previous to Sarah was Abraham. And we saw that Abraham, that he was called of God to go into the land of promise, and he obeyed God. And there we see the aspect of faith is that faith is, there's a calling. Everyone who believes on Christ has been called of God. Abraham was called of God. So you who believe, you were called of God. And as Abraham obeyed God in faith, even so you who believe obey God by coming to Christ. And we saw that Abraham sojourned, verse 9. How did he sojourn? By faith. You see, we sojourn in this life not by law, but by faith. Abraham did not have the law of Moses to sojourn by. He sojourned how? By faith. Even so do we sojourn through this life by faith. But now the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, would have us turn our attention from Abraham now to Sarah. Sarah. And by Sarah's faith, teach us something about faith. Teach us something about faith in Christ. He turns to Sarah's faith, and this is the first thing that I want us to see about Sarah's faith. According to the apostle, in this book, Sarah's faith was perfect. Sarah's faith was perfect. Now, Abraham, he received the promise of God that in his seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. Yet we read this, that Abraham had no seed. Abraham had no children. Yet God promised him something that he did not have yet. A seed. A promise. Yet Abraham, in faith, we can read in the Old Testament, and I assure you, Abraham's faith, as you read it, it's strong. Sometimes, I pray for the faith of Abraham, don't you? Just to boldly trust God no matter what you see. Isn't that what he did when he left his father's house and his kindred? He was told, and immediately he did it. Abraham received that promise of God and he went out. When he had Lot, and him and Lot got into that argument, their servants did, and Lot said, we need to separate. And Abraham said, okay, now pick. Pick which way. And he looked over here, it's all green, it's all beautiful, I'm going to take this way. Abraham didn't argue, didn't do anything. He knew this. God promised, and he took off into the desert. Now that's faith. That's trusting. There was no question in Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith was strong faith. Abraham did not even look at his wife's womb. He did not look at his own body. He trusted God. Remember when Christ appeared to him? He laughed with joy and anticipation of the coming of the seed. He laughed with joy, the Scripture says. We read of his strong faith, but as you read the account of Genesis concerning Sarah, you will not find strong faith. You will only find unbelief. That's what you'll read when Sarah, you remember when God told him that told them in their old age they should conceive and bear a son? What did she try to do? She turned to Hagar. She said, we're going to help God out on this. God surely can't do this on his own. So what I'm going to do is give you, Abraham, to my give my servant to you, and you can conceive through her. So we'll just help God out. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came in that pre-incarnate nature and he appeared to them and said, you're going to have a son, she laughed, but not like Abraham. They both laughed, but different, very different words there. She laughed in unbelief. And the Lord rebuked her about that. He said, is there anything too hard for God? And you know, when the Lord rebuked her and told her she didn't believe, you know what she said? I didn't do that. Right to his face. So when you read her account, her faith obviously is not perfect. It's obviously not perfect. Is this not true of us? When you look at your faith, can you not see Sarah in yourself? When God promises you something, you laugh at him as though that's just too much. That's just too hard. That's just impossible. I'll tell you what, I know how to do this. I'm going to help you out. And we end up messing up things more and more trying to help him fulfill his own promises. That's not faith. Faith is complete trust, absolute trust in the promises of God. The blessings of God that we have in Christ. Let us not laugh in unbelief, thinking God's arm is too short to save. How many times do we as the church try to help God out? We're to be about our business. What is our business here? Preaching the gospel. Declaring the gospel. At every opportunity we declare the gospel. But we are not here to trick men into believing or coming to church. We do not offer special bonus prizes for attendance. I'm not trying to help God out here. I'm here to preach the gospel to you. Who come? We're here. We don't trick men into doing this. Am I here to please men or God? I'm here to worship God. You're here to worship Christ. You're here to worship God. We're not here to try to help God out in this matter. Yet we see in light of this scripture, look at your text again. Look at how the apostle through the Holy Spirit mentions Sarah's faith. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive a seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, do you hear any mention of her unbelief in that? Do you hear any mention of it? Do you not hear Sarah through faith, though she messed up so many times in unbelief? No, you hear of her perfect faith, how by faith she received strength and was delivered of child. How? Through her faith and trust in God, who is faithful. You hear nothing of her unbelief. Nothing of her unbelief. You see, through the light of Scripture, because of the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ that clothes us, that washes us, I want you to see this. God sees us only as we are in Christ. Now, if that don't warm your heart, I don't know what will. If you're not thankful for that, you won't be thankful for anything else. Therefore, rejoice. You who are in Christ. You see, God is showing us Sarah's faith is perfect because He sees her not as she is in nature, but as she is in Christ. Perfect. Perfect. For in Christ, we are made perfect. You get that? You didn't make yourself perfect. You didn't become perfect. You were made perfect. By another. In Christ, we are holy and without blame before God. Isn't that the purpose of election? God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Listen, how? By Jesus Christ. This was always God's plan. It was always God's purpose that you should be made holy. Made holy. That's God's purpose. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? How many times I heard that? I know what people want. They want a little eight ball go. Crystal ball, shake up and see what God's will is for them today, to eat bacon or not eat bacon, to go down the road or not go down the road. That's what they think. I want to tell you what God's purpose is for His people, to make you holy. He said, I'm going to do it. Purpose to do it. In Christ we are made holy and without blame before God, even as we were chosen in Him. But in these last days, how do I know such things as eternal election? Because in these last days, God has sent His Son, by whom we are purged of our sin. Purged means washed, completely, thoroughly washed from all our sins. The Scripture says we are made meet, qualified. We've met the standard. Qualified for what? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And by grace and power of the Holy Spirit, we have been made qualified and partakers of the inheritance by experience. Election and redemption mean nothing to a man unless God quickens his soul. Unless God gives him this nature that He's made for him. The Apostle Paul says this, if so be you have heard of Him and been taught of Him. Have you heard of Christ? Not just with the hearing of the ear, but have you been taught of God? The Scripture says they shall all be taught of God. When I preach Christ to you, I'm not preaching anybody new, am I? This is not new to you who believe. You know Him. Why? You've been taught of God. And what is this? What is the result of being taught? As the truth is in Jesus, you have put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and been renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man, which is after God created created in righteousness and true holiness. Though we are constantly plagued by the old man, you who believe, you are constantly plagued by that old man. I know that. I'm plagued daily by him with fears and doubts and unbelief, which we are exhorted to put off. Are you done with that? Have you finished putting off the old man? Is he completely put off yet? You made it. You've arrived. No, you got to put him off again today. Put him off. Put off the old man of unbelief and his behavior, and put on the new man, which is created after God in true holiness. Put on the new man in our behavior. Which is not made holy by our behavior. The new man is made holy because God made him holy. God created him in you. Therefore, put off the old, the unbelief, and put on the new faith in Christ. Put on the graces that God has bestowed upon us. Faith, love, hope, meekness, temperance. Paul said we are made in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Listen, Paul said we are made partakers of Christ. You are made partakers of Christ. That is, we who are created new in Him, we are made partakers then of all His merits, His work, and His death. You are made partakers. I love this, what Brother Don wrote. He said this, to be a partaker of Christ means that I have a share in His merits. Sinful though I am, vile, wretched, and unclean, I come to the fountain filled with blood. I am washed in it, made white as snow. And that moment I become a partaker of the eternal Son, a partaker of Christ and His merits. That which Christ did as my substitute is actually mine. Everything Christ did in the behalf of His people is ours. All that righteousness that He merited by His own faith and faithfulness to God, since I am a partaker of Christ, being in union with Christ, all of His righteousness now is mine. Mine. His work upon the cross, did He bear your sins in His own body on the tree? Did God punish my sins in my substitute? Then His death is my death. His blood is my redemption. He is my offering to God. And because God is holy and the law could demand no more, as the songwriter wrote, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. Can't do it. Because I am a partaker of Christ, I'm a partaker of all His perfections. His perfections are mine. And with His spotless garments on, we are holy as the Holy One. Near, so very near to God, nearer we cannot be. For in the person of His Son, we are as near as He. So then, why is Sarah's faith perfect? You listen, because the object of her faith was perfect. And whatever her Savior has done is accounted to her. You know, it's what Jeremiah tells us. He calls our Lord Jesus, he says, He is the Lord our righteousness. That's His name. That's His name. The Lord our righteousness. But you know what He calls His bride? By the same name. By the same name. We are not you shall be, you are the Lord our righteousness. That's your name. Now, how often are you surprised when God hears you? You cry, you plead, help me. I don't deserve help. Help me. And then He helps you. And you wonder why He helped you. He helped you because of His Son. He helped you because His Son and you are in union together. He made it so. He made it so. That's why Sarah's faith here is seen with not in unbelief, but in perfection. So is your faith. You believe that? That your faith is perfect? I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou. Second thing is this. True faith is very personal. Look at your text again. Sarah's faith is not only mentioned as perfect faith by which she conceived this son and she judged God to be faithful. Second of all, her faith is personal. Look at that. Through faith also Sarah herself. Herself. Now, Abraham, we said, believed God. He believed God. His faith was strong. He trusted the promise of God. He trusted in the seed which was Christ. And the Scripture tells us it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, who was it accounted to? It was accounted to him. Not anyone else. Him. And so it is with you. So it is with you. All the elect of the Father, the redeemed of the Son, shall be called of the Holy Spirit, taught of God, and they all themselves shall believe. They all shall believe. Jesus told us that. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. As it is written, they shall who? All be taught of God. Who are taught of God? Those that come to Him. But faith of the believer in Christ, no matter how strong, no matter how evident it is that you are a believer, no matter how you are used of God in His service, you cannot transmit faith to another. Cannot do it. Faith cannot be transmitted from one person to another, no matter their relationship or zeal. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I know we spend a lot of time on that verse saying that that salvation is not by free will, not by the will of man. We're not born again by the will of man. But I tell you this, I'm not born again by the will of another man either. I cannot will someone to believe, no matter how much I love them, care for them, or desire that they believe. I cannot transmit faith to another. I cannot give it to you. I cannot give it to you. can't do it. Faith is personal. It's a personal work of God that He must perform for you personally. This matter of faith in Jesus Christ is personal, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to talk to you individually, personally. You must believe on the Son of God. You must. You must. As Abraham loved Sarah, there was no way for him to transmit that faith he had to her. With all my soul, I desire my children to believe. All my soul. I cannot ever give them faith. I can present the gospel as plain and as clear and crystal clear as water, make it ever so appealing, but I cannot make a man drink. Ever. I desire that they should confess their sins, know their guilt, and fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and plead for mercy. Why do I desire such things? Because that alone will save. Christ alone can save. Christ alone is redemption and righteousness and peace and eternal life. There is no way except you believe on Him. No way. I cannot give faith, nor can I believe for them. This is a false doctrine that's been perpetuated. What do you think infant baptism is? Infant baptism is the parents believing for the child. That's nowhere found in Scripture, not one place. It is a made-up lie. You cannot believe for anybody. Faith alone is personal. Sarah herself must have believed. Must have believed. And I tell you, the only exception, of course, for somebody believing for someone else is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, it was by His faith that we obtained righteousness. It was by His faith that we were redeemed. It was by His faith that we were justified before God. That's the only transmitted faith there is His faith. Scripture says, from faith to faith. Well, who's the originator of faith? Jesus. He is the author and finisher of who? Our faith. You see, the only one that transmits faith then is Christ. Do you lack faith? Do you lack faith in Christ? Then go to the one who can give you faith. Christ. You know what's amazing? If anyone goes to Christ for faith, they obviously have faith to go to Him already given. Isn't that, I tell you, one of the clearest definitions of faith is said, this woman said, I believed before I knew I believed. That's how faith comes. It comes by grace. A man seeking faith has already found faith in Christ because he's coming. Coming to Christ. You come to Christ. Why do you come to Him? You're not going to come to a person you don't believe. You come to Him because He's already given you faith to come. Isn't that special? Isn't that amazing? Faith is personal. Christ must give it. It was Christ who obtained it by His faith. It says, knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of law. Listen, but how a man is justified? But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed. Now, isn't that something? Even we. Even we who could not believe have believed. Why? Because we were justified by His faith. The only transmitted faith is the faith of Christ. That's why your faith is perfect. Don't you know? Your faith is the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ obtained our righteousness, our redemption, our justification. But listen, God also purposed this, that all He chose and all for whom Christ died shall believe. This has not happened to you by chance. You have not believed by chance. You have believed because God purposed you to believe. I like this scripture. In Acts chapter 13, it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life," guess what they did? They believed. They believed. Just as much as Christ was ordained to obtain our salvation, even so we were ordained to believe, to receive Christ through the preaching of His gospel. Sinner, no one will believe for you. If you're waiting for that, won't happen. Won't happen. You yourself must believe. Must believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Sinner, if you will not come to God by Christ, as sure as you hear my words, you will be damned. Will be. And if you will not come to Christ alone, it will be your own fault. You will not blame God for your unbelief. I do not care how you rest the Scriptures. Your unbelief is the only thing you have personally that's yours. Your sin is all you have that's personal. If you will not come to Christ, it will be your fault. But if you should feel your need of Him, if you should come to Him and believe on Him, just as sure as I am telling you this, you will be saved. And you see, if you come to Him for mercy and you find mercy, you'll recognize with all of us that's God's fault. That's God's doing. Shouldn't say fault. He has no faults, but that's His doing. And we who believe give Him praise, because He hath made us willing in the day of His power. You see, faith does the impossible. Faith believes the impossible. What's the impossible? Like Sarah's womb, you are dead. And you cannot give yourself life. But faith believes the impossible, that God will give life as He promised. And what would Sarah find? She received life within herself. And I tell you, that's how life comes, through faith. You must believe. You must believe. You must believe. true faith in Christ is the result of God's election, the result of Christ's redemption, and the result of the Holy Spirit calling. And listen, true faith like Sarah's continues unto the end. True faith always continues. Sarah believed, like all these others, the Scripture is going to tell us, these all died in faith. Sarah died in faith. Scripture reveals she died in faith. Well, you see, that's the end result of every true believer. We all die in faith. You see, in this life, you're never going to experience the fullness of your righteousness obtained by Christ, ever. You want to. You want to. You won't. Why? Because you still have this old man corpse dragging you down every step of the way. But soon, faith then will be no more necessary, because then we'll experience all this that God has done. Until then, hold fast to your perfect and personal faith, which is of God. And give Him the glory. Now, none of the glory of that belongs to us, does it? No. It belongs to God. Pray God will bless this to you.